Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our people sighed. We have come over a way with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the bright gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we meet thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Those Johnson brothers were something else. James Weldon Johnson writing the words to lift every voice and sing, his brother Rosamond writing the music to it. The power, the wisdom, the courage to write a song that still resonates today as it did 123 years ago. A song that reminds us to remember where we came from, to take note of where we are today, and a song that encourages us to look toward the future, to move forward. Past, present, future. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. Written in 1900 and spread throughout the South by school children, and by 1919 dubbed the Negro National Anthem by the NAACP. Lift Every Voice and Sing is a song that was born in Jacksonville, Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if written copies today now sit on the banned book list in its own hometown. Maligned and promoted, saying that it promoted separatism then and today, and I'm sure you heard the outcry when it was sung at the Super Bowl. Yes, a song that was born out of the struggle for liberation for African Americans post-Reconstruction, but it is that and much, much more. This is a song that speaks to liberation by remembering our past, naming our present, and marching boldly into our future. This song has something to tell us today, as much as it did yesterday and the years before. And I am convinced that it will speak to us tomorrow as much as it does today. It speaks to us, yes, African Americans, as we continue to fight for liberation, and it can speak and will speak for all who are fighting for liberation, the end of oppression, human rights, equality, courage to march, strength to fight, opportunity to speak out, endurance to tread on. It can and will speak to every courageous voice longing to sing, Black, white, indigenous, immigrant, Christian, spiritual, gay, straight, non-binary, trans, young, old, you name it. People anywhere, at any time, who need a reminder that we march on, though our feet may be tired and the shoulders feel weighed down upon, we march on to the light. This song has something to say to us today. In today's gospel from Luke, Jesus has something to say. In this selection from Luke, we find Jesus returning to Galilee and then to Nazareth, his hometown, as he was filled with the Spirit. This is the same Spirit that descended upon him while he was being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. Yes, the same Spirit that led him into the wilderness where he was harassed and harangued by evil personified, tempted by the devil. Tired and hungry, the devil attempted to take advantage of Jesus in this state. Command those stones to be made bread. Worship me. Test God's protection over you. But Jesus knew where he was from. Jesus knew whose he was. Recognized where he was at and reminded steady on the path, Jesus was recognized where he was at and was reminded to stay steady on his path. Understanding, Jesus understood his past, his present, and his future. And he came through that ordeal, and now, as we read in today's gospel, has something to say. Sitting in the synagogue, a place of instruction and worship, Jesus was handed a scroll and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." Jesus had something to say, and what he read was a statement. Jesus at this moment was presenting a statement, laying claim to who he was and what he was all about. All of what comes after in the gospel, the healings, the teachings, the movement of Jesus, all fall under the shadow of this action in the synagogue. A bold act for a hometown kid who was known only as Joseph's son. Boy, has Jesus's message been watered down today. How we have moved away from this Jesus, a Jesus who came to stand alongside the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, the maligned, the imprisoned, the forgotten. And how the world wants to make Jesus a Jesus that excludes, that builds walls, that cages children, that protects guns, that unwelcomes immigrants. You know the Jesus I'm talking about. But this Jesus, Luke's Jesus, had something to say, and we should listen. Much like James Weldon Johnson's words in "Lift Every Voice and Sing," and Jesus' words read from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue, the celebration of Juneteenth has something to say to us today as well. Now, I've got to be honest. Juneteenth was not a celebration that I grew up celebrating every year. I didn't grow up with the tradition surrounding this holiday marking the end of slavery, the day when federal troops marched into Galveston, Texas, 2 full years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. This holiday that was born out of the celebration of liberation. But even not having a regular celebration in my house, there are events in my life where Juneteenth felt prominent. I remember the Juneteenth of 1992, months after the LA riots and the injustice given towards Rodney King and the beatings. I remember Juneteenth of 2009, the year we elected Barack Obama, the 44th president. I remember the Juneteenth of 2013, the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement after the deaths of Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and Tamir Rice. I remember the Juneteenth of 2020, after the deaths of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and Charlene Lyles. And I remember the Juneteenth of 2021, when it was made a federal holiday. Juneteenth, from its birth, had something to say. It spoke differently to different people at different times, but it always had something to say. It marks a moment when we are invited to wrestle with the complexity of liberation, where we celebrate a moment in our history with the end of slavery, when we look back at the chains we have left behind, a time when we look back at our ancestors with pride at the strength and resolve needed for survival. But Juneteenth is also a time when we look at the present with joy and with grief. We see how far we've come. Barack Obama, Bishop Curry, federal holidays. But we grieve at the ways that evil's oppression continues to work in the world around us. Juneteenth holds all those complexities. But it's also a day that offers endurance and courage. Yes, we look back and we take note of where we were and where we are today, but Juneteenth is a holiday that sends us forward. Juneteenth is a day to celebrate in the face of hard times. Juneteenth is a day where we declare that we will march on. It's a day when we stand and we sing boldly. We sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. We sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. And together, facing the rising sun of our new day begun, we sing boldly, let us march on until victory is won. Amen.